us now the man who really was instrumental in shepherding through the Kavanaugh nomination to confirmation, the contentious weeks of battle, and the Senate Judiciary Committee from Iowa, the great state of Iowa, Senator Chuck Grassley, of course, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Senator Grassley, how are you doing today?
I feel a little less pressure than I did last week or for the last month. And it's quite a relief to have a person of such quality and academic background and such a successful career on the D.C. circuit to be on the U.S. Supreme Court. And what really bothers me is that he had these qualifications, and the Democrats thought maybe they could catch him up on something and avoid the 50 votes. And after 4 days of hearings, that didn't happen. So then they started every personal attack that they could, going back to when he was 15 years old, and there was no corroboration for it. They threw something at him on a Monday, it didn't stick. Threw it at the wall on a Tuesday, something different, it didn't stick, and on for about 2 weeks. And finally, thanks to Susan Collins, we were able to get the job done.
Well, in the end, it all worked out really well, but not before putting the country through and the Kavanaugh family through this absolute tumult. And Brett's been a friend of mine for 30 years, and we were young lawyers together in Washington when I worked at Skadden Arps, and he worked at Kirkland and Ellis, and I have such great respect for him across the board. And Senator Grassley, the chaos that ensued around the Capitol and still in the halls of the Senate and on the steps of the Supreme Court. This is what Maxine Waters said. She was asked last night about the intimidation and the harassment of senators and sort of getting it right in someone's face as a means of protest, and she said this.
When we protest, yes, we're shouting out, we have signs, we're saying what we think will get to the public, and we are not saying we're going to kill anybody, we're going to hit anybody, or we're going to cause anybody any harm. That's a lie in the way that they're trying to redefine protest.
Is that correct? I mean, what your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are this, that public officials, and I'm not a perfect public official, but I think we all ought to set an example of civility. And so for a senator to say, get in their face, for a congresswoman like her to say, get in your face, and then what happens is the president's press secretaries and Senator Cruz are pushed out of restaurants, that is encouraged by what these congresswomen and senators are saying, and it's wrong. I believe in freedom of association, freedom of speech, freedom to demonstrate, but it ought to be peaceful, and you shouldn't do anything that's going to encourage violence, because even if congresswoman doesn't intend violence, there's some people that are going to take it one step further than she intended, and she needed to back off about 10 steps and surely not be in your face. If you're going to have a democratic and representative government function properly, I've got to be, a few feet away. We got to have a discussion, a dialogue. I got to have respect for people that disagree with me, and she ought to have respect for people that disagree with her, but in your face isn't a way to do it.
Well, she said a year ago that she was going to take Donald Trump out. And what does that mean? I mean, she's at this lesbian, gay, LGBT dinner, and she goes and says, I'm going to take him out. She wasn't saying take him out for dinner. She's like, take him out. And telling people to get harassed in restaurants, and it seems like that message really has permeated the permanent protest mentality in the Democrat Party, Senator, and my concern is that someone's going to end up getting hurt. We already had Steve Scalise get shot. You would have thought that the Democrats would have calmed everyone down after that. But when you have Susan Collins being cornered in an elevator, It's one thing when Jeff Flake is cornered in an elevator, but then you have poor old Susan Collins. You have people being screamed at a centimeter from their face while they're trying to walk down a hallway. I mean, what can be done about this?
Well, obviously, for those of us that are in public office and in public places, and we're confronted with that, and they're doing it under what they think is First Amendment rights, the only thing you can count on is the police protection we have. But then you can't have police protection for 535 members of Congress, every place they are spread throughout the United States, even relying upon local police, you can't do that as well. So I've come to the conclusion, and this is repetitive of what I've kind of already said to you, but our democracy will be stronger with respectful political discourse as opposed to what is happening when you, quote-unquote, get in their face.
Well, what Senator, what responsibility does someone like a Dianne Feinstein or Cory Booker or Kamala Harris have to speak against this type of harassment and intimidation? This isn't just carrying a sign and chanting some things. This is cornering women in elevators. This is something, and we have people threatening to kill Kavanaugh, teachers in Minnesota. I mean, people are taking this all to heart. If you say someone's like a combination of a Nazi and a sexual predator enough times, some wackadoodle is going to, you know, take matters into his or her own hands, God help us. So what responsibility does the Democrat leadership have here?
I don't think they're going to exercise it, but they got a responsibility to renounce it.
No, I would. I'm waiting for that. Senator Grassley, there. Go ahead.
You'll wait a long time. I think I'll wait a long time.
Senator Grassley, the lessons learned from this Kavanaugh saga. Many of us thought that in the beginning, when we had to put off the hearing and kick it off from the Thursday vote initially, kick it off to Monday, and then it got delayed because of the Ford allegations. Any thoughts to solidifying the rules so you can't extend hearings past the close of the original hearing date, so these kind of anonymous allegations can't drop and make a difference again?
Well, I've read your tweets when you took me to task, called me pathetic for not calling for a vote, but you can't if I'd called the vote the day you won the vote call,
we would have lost.
We would, yeah, 10 to 11. So you got to have some respect for people that are on the job here doing it, and so we waited until we had the votes.
Yeah, no, I corrected myself after that. I didn't delete the tweet because I said it, but I corrected myself, and you and McConnell both handled this masterfully in the face of incredibly difficult and, I think, highly emotional, highly charged atmosphere. And when people say that Dr. Ford was disrespected, which is a guest on my show said last night, she was disrespected, I said, oh, my gosh, Senator Grassley said, if you need something repeated or, you know, are you okay? Do you need anything? I mean, you couldn't have been more solicitous of Dr. Ford. I can't imagine how you could have been, frankly.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of how I was confronted by Iowans because in the Thomas hearings because I was so mean to Anita Hill, and I never asked a single question, but I was sitting beside Specter that did our questioning, and everybody thought I was Specter.
Oh, my goodness. Senator Grassley, there was another moment that I have to get you to react to. This is Heidi Heitkamp, of course, Democrat, North Dakota, decided to vote against Kavanaugh. A lot of people have talked about whether the court remains legitimate. You heard Hillary say that it's a shame that things happen as they happen because the court always was respected. And this is what Senator Heitkamp said.
You're obviously in the midst of a very tough reelection fight, and I know you feel voting the way you did was the right way. Do you worry? Are you concerned that it may have cost you your Senate seat?
At the end of the day, you all have to look at yourself in the mirror and think about what your future holds if you compromise something like this based on politics. And I believe the yes vote would have compromised my true belief that this person did not have the temperament to be on the Supreme Court.
They're still repeating that, the temperament issue, Senator Grassley.
Yeah. listen, this gets back to what I already told you. He's got 12 successful years on the D.C. circuit, the second most important court in the land. He's been collegial. Even people like Garland said that he had that sort of approach to judging, and that means judicial temperament. Not only are you have a personality that is temperate, you also leave your personal views out of decision making. You look at the law and look at the facts of the case, and just use those two things to go by. So consequently, what she said, Senator Heitkamp said, plus your question brings me to history of Thomas. Is it going to hurt the Supreme Court? I listened to the same thing 28 years ago. And then I look at 28 years' record of Thomas on the court, and I've never seen any retribution on his part towards anything that was said against him at that time. And he was mad when he said he was going through a high-tech, what did he say, high-tech
lynching.
Lynching.
High-tech lynching.
Yeah. So, you know, after 28 years of listening to the same thing about Thomas not seeing it, I think that I've got great confidence that Kavanaugh is going to bring great prestige and knowledge and academic background and, more importantly, his work on the second highest court in the land to the Supreme Court, and it's all positive.
No, it's he's one of the most qualified people, period, to sit on the court. Senator Grassley, the Susan Collins situation in Maine, of course, all these leftist billionaires promising to flood her opponent, whoever that ends up being, with lots of money. You want to raise $3 million for Susan Collins, and I know Mitch McConnell has said the same thing. How is that looking?
Well, we are just getting started at that. But conservatives, even though a lot of times they disagree with Susan Collins, they got to look at her as a senator of great principle, and we need to respect that. And I said $3 million, it's going to take a lot more than $3 million to elect her, but they've raised $3 million against her, so our goal is $3 million right now. And everybody that ought to respect her and wants Kavanaugh on the courts ought to go along that line. And I hope a rallying cry for Republicans over the next 28 days between now and the election is remember Kavanaugh, and this November election is a chance for Americans to reject the mob rule that you've seen over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, reject mob rule, due process over demonization, and the rule of law over this mob rule.
Yeah.
And Senator, you really just this is one of the finest hours, I think, for both you and Mitch McConnell and the Republicans. Some of them weren't all that wild about Trump during the primary, the GOP primary. But I think when Republicans stick together, there's nothing they can't accomplish. I really believe that. And I think this was a prime example of the party kind of coming home to the president. And it's unified now. And I think moving into the midterms, this is going to be a good moment for the Republican Party, and I think you're right. Everybody should be supporting Susan Collins right now.
Yeah, well, 300,000 people ought to go online right now and give her $10.
$10. $10 for Susan Collins. Well, we'll post the website on our website, lauraingram.com, and on Facebook, and you better believe it. I just want to thank you again, Senator Grassley. Thanks so much for doing what you did over the last few weeks. No one ever said it was going to be easy, but you got it done. And maybe we'll even have another Supreme Court vacancy in the first Trump term. Senator, thanks so much.
Okay, goodbye. Thank you.